How many are ready for the word of the Lord today? Amen. I have been so fired up to jump into this series and begin teaching. I'm excited to just get into the word today, and I believe that we're going to be blessed and our church is going to be blessed for it. It's great to be home today. Ministry has taken me to a few different states over the last, 10 days or so, and it's been busy, but I really do try to guard how much I am gone because it's hard to build others and you at the same time, and my calling is to you, and I'm very committed to that, and my heart is always here, but I'm also grateful that God is raising up and God is establishing leaders and speakers and people to help in ministry. I'm so thankful for Taylor teaching last week. I was watching online and just cheering and thankful for great, great word. And it honestly flows into our series today. And we're starting a new series called Dig It. Dig It. How many 70s cats do I have in the room? Anybody? You lived through the 70s, those terrible clothes and horrible hair. But you know, it was just cool. Can you dig? You know, do you dig? And it's kind of come back around. It's a cool word again. Just, you know, do you agree? Are you with this? Are you on board? Can you dig? I mean, are you down with this? Is this good with you also? So I want to read a couple of verses from Genesis 26, and we're going to be in Genesis 26 really the next couple of weeks. It's just a three Sunday series to wrap up, round out the month of September. But there's so much truth here to unpack and just see what it is that God has for us. Genesis 26, if you want to get there and hold it for just a moment, let me give you some context and just set this up a little bit because we've just come out of a family series. August was for family, and we saw and certainly felt God doing some special things when we talk about generations, when we talk about not only you being blessed, but your children being blessed, those coming after you, legacy, the entire family. And even bigger than that, because what we're doing today, it will make a difference for those to come. And I think it's hard for us to even conceptualize that. It's hard for us to grasp that. We are so overwhelmed with what's happening in our lives personally, with what we are carrying, with what we are dealing with. It's hard for us to think about. I'm trying to get two kids raised. It's hard for me to think about at some point a long, long, long time in the future, I'm going to have grandkids. It's hard for me to fathom that some of the investment I'm making today is going to impact their lives many years from now. It's hard for us to wrap our brains around what I'm doing today is going to affect the future. And yet, we have to think about those things. We have to consider those things. So if we go all the way back to the beginning, we see Abraham. Abraham did incredible things for God, and he worked hard to establish his family. And ultimately, he established you and I. Because God made a covenant with Abraham, and he prospered him in abundance. You know today, if you are a student of the Bible at all, that Abraham is considered the father of faith. You've heard at some point the God of your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is speaking to generations. Abraham to his son Isaac, Isaac to his son Jacob. It was generations. And the Bible teaches us that you and I are a part of that blessing. We have been grafted in through Jesus and our relationship with him. We have been grafted into the same promise. I like that promise. I'm thankful for that promise. So here is Abraham, who is blessed greatly, and his son Isaac. But Isaac, because of challenges and because of the enemy and because the devil just doesn't like people being blessed, Isaac is living in enemy territory. That's where we pick up this story in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 1. Let me read this. It said, "Now there was a famine in the land. Besides the previous famine in Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar." So there's a famine in the land. Famine, it was likely caused by a drought. The drought, or the lack of rain, affects the food supply. Everyone is hungry. These are dangerous times. These are desperate times. These are times of great concern. I know we have days and times and maybe a few weeks, different parts of the country, even around here, with average 75 inches of rainfall a year, we'll say, "Oh, we need some rain. My grass needs some rain. My plants need some rain. If we could just get some rain," because we know that rain, it affects everything. It affects everything that we're doing. But the reality is, you and I have not really experienced famine. We've not really experienced a drought of this magnitude, not naturally, not physically, and yet we do know what it is to be in a drought spiritually. It's hard to go hungry in 2021 because there are so many opportunities and there is so much help. We're feeding people twice a week right out of here on Mondays and Thursdays, a beautiful and incredible ministry, feeding people all the way up into Atlanta, all around. It's a blessing to be able to feed dozens and dozens of families every single week. It's hard to go hungry because even while someone may be food insecure, while they may not have as much as they want, there are opportunities to get help and there's opportunity to get assistance, and we're so grateful. Water is available, but there absolutely is a spiritual famine in 2021, both in and out of the church. Not in this church, amen, because we're working hard. Not going to be in famine, not going to be in spiritual famine. We're going after the presence of God and going after the glory of the Lord. But so much is happening in our world. There is a drought of peace. There is a drought of love. There is a drought of kindness. Oh, how we need the Lord in September 2021. We need the Lord to pour out of His Spirit and do great things among us. There's a famine in the land. That's where Isaac is living. And Genesis 26, verses 12 and 13, the Bible said that Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. Now, let me just invite everyone to calm down. This is not a message about money today. I'm not teaching about finance, but at the same time, let me just establish a principle, because I don't want to miss an opportunity. I hope you want to be prospered today. I hope you want to live in prosperity. Another translation says that he began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. I really do hate that Christian TV has ruined the word prosperity. I hate that it has been manipulated so much and taken advantage of in such a ways that it turns people off and causes us to cringe. But hear me, it is okay to want prosperity. The word of the Lord said, "I want you to prosper even as your soul prosper in ways of health and all kinds of ways. He wants our souls to prosper. So it's all right to desire prosperity. To live and to realize, you know what, different seasons of life. I've lived different seasons of life. Lived seasons where had absolutely nothing. Lived other seasons where had a little more. Lived where you have even a little bit more. It didn't matter what the season was. We made up our mind, we're going to serve God, and nothing is going to keep us from doing what God has called us to do, even in a famine. Isaac is flourishing and Isaac is growing. Look at somebody and ask them, can you dig? Can you dig? Can you dig? So what do we learn from Isaac's life? First thing we learn is that diggers sow in all seasons. There was a famine, yes. There was a drought, yes. But Isaac said, we're going to dig, we're going to sow, even in a famine season. Even in a drought season. Because the thing that sets Isaac apart from everyone else is that he planted crops in the middle of a famine. He's growing, others are dying. Because real diggers, people who are committed to the dig, they know that the best time to sow is in a drought. Right when the devil is telling you no, right when the enemy is fighting you as hard as he can, diggers sow in all seasons. The best time to lean in is when things are crazy all around us. We put seeds of faithfulness, seeds of prayer, seeds of sacrifice in the ground. Can I tell you today that you and I are called to grow in all environments? It doesn't matter if the world is dry. It doesn't matter if the community is in chaos. It doesn't matter if everybody's running this direction and God said go. We just continue to dig and do what is right, regardless of the environment that we are living in. We're not waiting to be faithful when the news turns positive. You'll be waiting a long time. We're not waiting to serve God with joy and gladness when our neighbors stop fighting and we're not waiting until everything gets back to normal before we do what God has called us to do. We sow even in famine. We dig even in chaos. We dig even in drought. We do the right thing regardless. Why? Because it's what God told us to do. He didn't say we would do this in perfect circumstances. He didn't say we would do this when everything was working well and looked perfect. He said, no, you do what I've called you to do, regardless of the season, regardless of the circumstance. We understand that plants may have specific seasons that they thrive in, but believers can grow in any season. Doesn't matter if it's a struggle season, a winning season, a hard season, a blessed season. A digger, a committed digger, is not waiting for the world to give them permission to grow. Because you know what? Growth will never be politically correct. Someone will always want you to be down. Someone will always want you to be broke. Someone will always want you to be as miserable as another person. So I'm not waiting for it to be politically correct. I'm just going to believe and do what God has called me to do. Maybe you stopped sowing. Maybe you stopped digging because the harvest, you didn't see it happening. You didn't see it coming up out of the ground. You didn't see it coming to life. Let me encourage you today to sow until you see it. Give until you see it. Pray until something happens. Worship until there is a breakthrough. Don't quit. The enemy is going to delay, and just cause problems in the ground that discourages you from ever digging again. No, I know what God has called me to do. I know what God has asked me to do. Regardless of what the enemy says, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. Can you dig? It would be easy to look at this famine and think, maybe later. I'll do this later. I'll work on this later. Because the season that we're in, I mean, it's crazy. The crowd is cut in half. Team church is half of what it was a year and a half ago. Too many have just fallen away from the faith altogether. Famines are frustrating. Drought is discouraging because it fights my faith. Maybe you feel it in your business. Maybe you see it in your kids' education. And you know, the whole virtual thing versus, I mean, it's all just so crazy right now. Maybe you see the effects of the drought, see the effects of the famine that we're living in. And now we say, well, what do we do? Why don't I just sit down over here and I'll just wait it out. I'll just wait until the tide turns. I'll just wait until things get better. I'll just wait and then things will turn. Well, guess what? They're not turning as fast as we thought they were going to turn. It's not happening as quickly as we hoped it might happen. So are we just going to hang our harps on the willow and sit down for the next 5, 10, 15 years? Lord, no. I'm going to dig in all seasons. I know it's not a perfect season. I know there are struggles and there are pains and their life is different, and I know things are not as what I hope that they would be, but I still have to dig and do what God called me to do. I'm going to sow in all seasons. I'm going to keep doing the right thing for the right reason, and I'm going to see the right thing happen in my life. That's the promise of God. I'm not waiting until everyone gets back. I'm not waiting until everyone returns. I'm going to sow with what I have and watch God do his thing. Anybody want to dig with me? Diggers, they sow in all seasons. Genesis 26 and 14, the Bible said, he had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. Don't miss that. He had so many flocks and herds. Everyone else's herds are dying. They can't water them. They can't feed them. They can't feed themselves. And somehow this man who has the blessing of God on his life, he has so many flocks and so many herds that the Philistines, that's the enemy, that's where, you know, Goliath came from. It's always a type of the enemy, a type of the devil in the Old Testament, the enemy that's fighting your faith. The enemy envied him because the enemy hates your blessing. You and I both know that the blessings of God are what keep us coming back Sunday after Sunday. Bible said it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It keeps me in the presence of God because I don't want the blessing to dry up in my life. I don't want his favor lifting off of my life. I don't want the anointing running away from my life. I'm going to be here every single Sunday. This is not a once a month thing for me. This is not a Christmas and Easter gig for me. I'm digging every Sunday because I'm addicted to the goodness of God in my life. But I know the enemy hates it. I've yet to meet some hero of the faith that said, you know what, I finally reached the place that the devil stopped fighting me. No. This is going to be a fight our whole lives. I know some of you are tired of the fight. You're weary. You're exhausted in the battle. But I promise you, can I say what I've always said? Your worst day in the church is still better than your best day in the world. The hardest day you've ever lived for God, the most challenging season you've ever lived for God is still better than your greatest days in the world. I don't know if y'all really believe that, but I believe it from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I know it to be true. That's why you keep digging. You keep digging. You stay faithful to the things of God. The enemy, they envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the name or in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. So Abraham, Isaac's father, built wells that became a source of life. They were community. They were the center of the economy. We started supporting a couple of weeks ago. You heard us talk about Pastor Benit June in Haiti. Of course, Haiti has been rocked by yet another earthquake, one, you know, severe magnitude a number of years ago, and then recently in the last few weeks. And thankfully, while they've had some definite cleanup and definite repairs and all of that, the school is still operational. But one of the things, one of the reasons that church is blessed, and there's hundreds of people that are a part of that church. Obviously, Haiti is impoverished and the people are poor, and there's the need is great. But one of the reasons that God continues to bless this church and this ministry that we are in partnership with and supporting and helping and trying to make a difference with our resources to where they are is because they've dug and own and have established three water wells. So the entire community has to come to their campus to get water. That's what Abraham did. And while they're there getting water, they're able to share the gospel with them. While they're there connecting to get a source of life, they're saying, let me tell you about the real source of life. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Abraham established that. Abraham dug wells that became a source of life. And so the enemy said, we're so angry at Abraham. We're so jealous and so envious of what God has done in his life. They went to each of the wells that Abraham dug and they filled them with earth. They stopped them up. They filled them. I'm going to teach more about this as the series unfolds. But verse 16 says that Abimelech said to Isaac, move away from us. You have become too powerful for us. The enemy is angry about these wells, and so they stop them up because we don't want the church to be blessed. We don't want the church to be prospered. We don't want the people of God to be blessed. They're jealous. And so they filled them with earth. And Abimelech said, Isaac, you got to get away from us because it doesn't matter how bad this drought is. We just keep looking over at you and you just keep getting bigger and bigger and more wealthy and more blessed. Our herds are dying and your herds are multiplying. You've got to get away from us because your life is an indictment to us. Let me tell you the second point today. Diggers expect rejection. Diggers expect opposition. Committed people, faithful people. If I'm living in faith, I am living in faith today. And living in faith means that I expect blessing. I expect favor. I expect spiritual strength in my life. As pastor today, I expect for there to be salvations today. I expect faithful giving today. I expect that God is going to establish testimonies of his faithfulness and his goodness. I hope you personally expect for your house to be blessed, and you expect for your marriage to be blessed, and you expect for your children to be blessed. You expect the blessing of God to live anything other than expectant as God's child is a disservice to how powerful faith is. If you come to church, but you came in downtrodden and you're going to leave downtrodden, man, we got to flip the script in your life and let faith get powerful and faith get real and positivity take hold in your life, because you ought not come in from hell last week and leave expecting more hell this week. No, I'm getting charged up. I'm getting full. I'm full of faith, and I know and expect the blessing of God in my life. But I also know that because I dig, the enemy is going to do all that he can to stop that from happening. I expect it, but I also know. I expect the enemy to fight me. I have no grand ideals that I woke up this morning starting a brand new week and I'm just going to have smooth sailing. No, I'm expecting rejection. I'm expecting opposition. That doesn't mean I'm looking for a fight. That doesn't mean I'm just, you know, living with sleeves rolled up and just... No. The Bible said be sober, be aware, be vigilant. Your enemy, he's walking about as a roaring lion. He's not after the easy target. He's after the faithful target. He's after the one believing. He's after the one that's expecting the blessing of God, expecting the move of God, expecting the breakthrough. That's who he's trying to get his teeth into. So I know, I'm not surprised when the enemy does enemy things. I'm not surprised when the enemy opposes the way that he does in my life. There is no surprise. I expect the enemy to throw darts in my life. I expect some friends will never understand my praise. I expect pain. I expect rejection. I expect a challenge. But after taking all of that into consideration, it will not stop me from digging and doing what God has called me to do. It won't hinder my commitment. It's not going to hinder my praise. It's not going to stop my serve. It's not going to keep me from sowing. Because diggers expect rejection. John 16 and 33. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But he said, take heart, because I have overcome the world. And if you're in me, that means you're an overcomer too. Take heart. Take heart, get excited. Get full of faith. Because I'm victorious, you are going to be victorious as well. I don't know who I'm preaching to today that feels so beat up by the enemy, that feels so punch drunk from everything the enemy is throwing at your life. But you ought to rise up and square your shoulders and say, wait a minute, I'm not running from the devil. The devil needs to be running from me. I'm not hiding from the enemy. The enemy needs to be hiding from me. Why? Because I have the Lord on my side. Can you dig? So Jesus told us not to be surprised when people hated us because of him. It's a sign of the last days. We're so frustrated by the opposition we feel as the capital C church, the global church. We're so frustrated by things that are happening that this is what Jesus told us was going to happen. When you see these things, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Get ready. Expect opposition. Expect there to be challenge. So the enemy put dirt into the well. He filled it so that it couldn't flow. That's the enemy's plan for your wells. He wants to fill the well of your family with dirt. He wants to fill up the well of your business with dirt. He wants to fill up the well of values with dirt. Fill you up with frustration. Fill you up with disappointment. Fill you up with depression. Don't be ignorant of his devices. Don't be surprised by the wiles of the devil. Be aware. Be cognizant. Be clear on what the enemy's plan is. And then go out and live your life knowing the enemy's going to do his best and throw his best and try his best. But I already saw that coming. I'm going to stay faithful even in a spiritual famine. So Genesis 26, 17 and 18 says that Isaac left. He camped in the valley of Gerar and settled. Isaac dug again the wells which were dug in the days of his father Abraham. But that had been clogged by the Philistines after Abraham's death. And the Bible said that he renamed them using the original names of his father. Original names his father had given them. Let me close with this point. I'm going to talk more next week about the various wells and Isaac naming them, and it'll bless your life. I want you to be here the next couple of Sundays, but let me close with this final point. Because not only do diggers sow in all seasons, and not only do diggers expect rejection, diggers never forget how to dig. They never forget how to dig. Isaac, Abimelech said, you got to go. The Philistines, they want to kill him. They want to do away. They're envious of all of his blessings. And Abimelech says, you got to go. And Isaac said, it's no problem. I'm gone. No problem. He gathers his herds. He gathers his flocks. He gathers all of his abundance. He gathers all of his harvest. And he goes into another valley. And he said, it's not a problem because I know how to dig. I can do this anywhere. I can be blessed anywhere. I can be prospered anywhere because I've established the principle in my life. And so he starts digging again because diggers never forget how to dig. You know what? The 2020 pandemic, that was the right hook. But trying to recover and figure out the new normal, that was the uppercut. Till we feel like we are knocked out on the mat. I've never seen people so lost. I don't even mean spiritually per se. I mean just so at a loss. What do I do? What do I do? Where do I go? What do I do? People are so lost. I've never seen businesses so lost. Got into town yesterday. I tried to go get something to eat. Walked up, pulled on the door, and it was locked. I mean, Saturday, 6 o'clock in the evening. I mean, this is prime eating time. There's the sign. Had to change our hours. We've had to adjust staff shortages and this and that supply. Businesses are lost. This business should be open. It should be full of people right now. There should be people enjoying and friends and family around a table. And but no, businesses are lost. They're at a loss. It's happening everywhere. They don't know what to do. From here, churches are lost. What do we say? Where are we? They don't know what they can teach and what they can say. People are so at odds with one another. People are so polarized. People are so angry. What can I say? What can I teach? I'm just at a loss. It is a crazy time. But let me tell you something. The same thing that got us here, prayer, sacrifice, commitment. Those same things will get us there. Diggers know how to pivot. Diggers know how to shift. Diggers know how to adapt. Things may look different. We may have to do it differently. Had multiple conversations this morning. Some wearing a mask, some not. We just know how to pivot. We got to keep doing church. We got to keep building the kingdom. We've got to keep growing. Conversation with someone. It's been out for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks or so. Dealing with virus in their house. Taking care of people with virus. Ended up with it themselves. Recovered, doing good. We just got to keep digging and keep digging and keep digging. Can you dig? Can you dig? Get a shovel. Let's dig. I've come to ask you, do you have one more in you today? Do you have one more run? Do you have one more sacrifice? Do you have one more focus of your faith? Can you set fear aside and trust God in this season? Can you dig? Can you serve? Can you pray? Can you dig? Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for people that listen, not just with their ears. They're not just hearing the logic or the reason, the practicality of what we teach today, but they're listening with their heart. And today is not just another message that, you know, builds us, blesses us, sends us out to face another few days. This is a call. This is a mandate. This is a rebuild. This is a fresh start. This is a new shovel. Strong handle and sharp blade. This is setting that point into the hard ground of 2021. Having to put my foot on the butt end of that shovel and using all of my weight to dig in one more time, break fallow, hard ground. It surprisingly gets easier once you get through the hard layer. But what the Church Covington needs is people willing to pick up the shovel, stay long enough to break up the hard ground and dig. I believe they're here, Lord. I'm so thankful for this family of choice. I'm so thankful for people that I serve with. I'm so thankful for the guests that came today, and I believe you wanted them here today because they're looking for purpose in their life. They're looking for meaning in their life, and you crafted and shaped a word for them to hear today that says, you know what? This is what God wants for me. Not sitting on a sideline somewhere, not just watching nonstop news coverage of things I personally can't change and just living in fear or living in worry. No. I want to be a part of a movement. I want to be a part of a revival. I want to be a part of a church. I want to dig. Dig until something is established. Dig until a community is changed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because there's a hunger and a thirst. I am waiting, immersed. I'm not waiting, not anymore. I need you, Lord.
Sing. There's a